Good morning. Let's all stand together. We lift up our voices as we sing, He has made me glad.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, since the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Good to see each of you in the Lord. Lord's house this morning. Have you come and worship with us? We have somebody brand spanking new with us this morning. Forrest William Dobson is here. Is he here or is he with Mom?
He's with Mom.
He's with Mom. All right, so I'll have to redo this when Mom comes with Forrest William in a few minutes. We'll have her kind of show us all little Forrest. But congratulations to the Dobsons as they've had healthy, strong baby. Mom doing great. Dad fully recovered, I think, right? getting there. Well, let's open up with,
Yes.
I know, I got off on the baby thing and it threw me off on my sequence.
It is distracting.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you that we can gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you do miraculously provide for us and watch over us. And we are so very thankful that Jenny was able to have her baby, Forrest, and she's well, and Forrest as well. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we do lift up before you our church family this morning, as we've had a number of folks sick, and I know Paula Jean's sister passed away. I pray that you'd be with our church family during this time. Watch over them, strengthen them, and help them. Be with us as we have come to worship. We want to draw near to you. We want your Holy Spirit to move in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Christ has been.
All stand again, and together we're going to lift up our voices and sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness."
Who can question?
transitioning from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I have a little bit of a video to kind of remind you of that.
There you are.
To the Father, spring of life, Lord of love, the bountiful fount of all provision. Come rejoice in His goodness, count each blessing that comes from heaven to earth, now from earth to heaven. Oh, give thanks to God forever for all He's done, for all given, for every grace, bring every praise to the Giver of all. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto Jesus, sing of His saving love, the breath of life broken for redemption. How He carried the cross to make us daughters and sons. Exalted now, the King of our salvation. Oh, give thanks to God forever for all He's done, for all He's given, for every grace. Bring every praise to the Giver of all. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks to God forever for all He's done, for all He's given, for every grace. Bring every praise to the Giver of all. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Spirit, fire of joy, bond of love. Oh, breath of God, help our hearts remember. Purge our pride with Your kindness. Plant this song deep in us. For all the gifts, greater is the Giver. Oh, give thanks to God forever for all He's done, for all He's given, for every grace. Bring every praise to the Giver of all. Give thanks to the Giver of all. Give
I would like you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 12 down through 14. As they just sang about giving thanks to our Lord, our Father. Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14. Title of our message is Giving Thanks to Our Father. And actually, it comes right out of that very first part of verse 12, where it says, Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. These are powerful verses of giving thanks, and they are powerful verses of theological truth, because it reminds us of things to be thankful for that are beyond our immediate reach. It's a good thing for us to sit down and thank the Lord for the turkey on our table, the cranberry sauce, all the bounty that he provides. It's good for us to give thanks for our family, our neighbors, our friends, our church, our community. But there are some things that are larger. They extend beyond that which we just reach out and hear and see and touch and smell and taste. In this text, we find God taking us to a place where we are giving him thanks for eternal things. So he starts out and he talks to us about our inheritance. And when we look at verses 12, 13, and 14, in many ways, our natural tendency is to reverse the order. Talk about salvation and then the kingdom and then the inheritance, because that seems to be the logical, in our mind, order. But that's not what God inspired to have penned here. He wanted us to start with our eternal inheritance and work backwards to our salvation. That's what he does in this text. He's got a purpose in bringing us to a place of reflection and thanksgiving. So as we look at verse 12, he says, Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Interesting turns of phrases and words he uses there. In fact, the word meet is not a common word for you and I today, but in 1611, when these words were penned, it was a commonly used word. It simply meant to be qualified, to be adequate. So here he is saying to us, thank our Heavenly Father, thank God that he has made us qualified, he's made us adequate to partake in the inheritance that he has for all of us. Inheritances are an interesting thing, even here upon earth, aren't they? Certainly through the years of pastoring, I've seen people inherit all different kinds of things. And some people, when they inherit something, they immediately burn it up. Whether it be money or property or whatever it may be, they get it and it is gone. In fact, sometimes I remind elderly people who are struggling and struggling and struggling to save for their kids to get something, some inheritance. I try to remind them, listen, you're working your heart out to leave them something that they may spend in like 3.5 days. It's just a little reminder. You and I, we understand inheritances because we see them come and go around us. Nothing as grandiose as heaven itself takes place on earth. But we understand that inheritances can be transformational. They can change us all, can't they? My dad, before he passed away, he had worked his whole life in construction. He was a foreman for Polito Construction Company in Worcester, Mass. He was in charge of their blasting, dynamiting. As Dad got older, he kept squirreling money away. Even after he retired, he would still squirrel money away. And then when he started getting pretty frail, he said to me, Tim, I want you to come down to Massachusetts and I want you to spend a couple days with me
because I'm going to take you to the banks. I'm going to put everything in your name and my name. And so we did. We went through the whole process of doing that. And he told me, he says, now when I go, I want you to make sure that your sisters get an equal share of all that's in these bank accounts. I says, Dad, okay, not a problem. As long as you put it in writing so I don't have to fight with my sisters, I'm happy to do anything you want. And he did. He put all that in writing. So when he passed away, that money was divided up between each sister and myself. And each of us did different things with that money. One sister rebuilt a big part of her house. My other sister, she took that and her and husband invested that in a business opportunity. And for Sandra Jo and I, over the last many years, we have used that to buy and rehab and resell little house projects so that I could put that in my retirement. So that little bit that my dad gave me, it has prepared me for someday, if I ever decide to retire. Who knows? I may die right here. But I'm ready anyways, either way. But we understand the concept of inheritances, don't we? We understand the concept of somebody else preparing something so that we ourselves would get it later on. Well, that's really what God is talking about here. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And we look at that often in John 14. In fact, this week I'm getting ready to do a funeral for Irene Brinkman, a lady that would come and sit in the very last pew on that right-hand side with her brother. Didn't get to come very often, but she passed away this week. And when I sat with her and read scripture this last week to her, I read out of John 14. Because Christ has promised us that he has an inheritance for us. That heavenly home that he's gone to prepare. It is transformational for us to understand that he has something for us set aside. That inheritance is beyond our touch, our smell, our taste, our hearing. Our senses can't grasp it. It is reserved in heaven itself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at that last time, is what the text says. When we look at this verse, this compilation of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, we understand that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation refer to the inheritance of heaven, that eternal home, that place that is talked about in this text. It's incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away. It's reserved in heaven, not by us, but by the power of God to be revealed in the last time. It's an amazing truth. And he simply teaches us here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, to step back and give thanks unto the Father for that inheritance. My dad was not a believer. Him and I many times would try to talk to him about heaven and eternity. And my dad would look at me and he'd say to me, Tim, when I die, I am like an animal. I will just be gone. I'm done. I'm gone. He had no concept, no grasp, no faith that there was an eternal home for him to be reserved for him. Now, what happened in the latter days when he was unconscious and just between him and God, I'd love to think that he humbly received Christ in those quiet moments. That's me hanging on to a little bit of hope. But the reality is, God wants you and I to know, to be thankful for, to hang on to the reality that he has for us in inheritance. It's not money. It's not even property. It's a heavenly home. Yes, there is a place there prepared for us, but it's not the place in the sense of its tangibility. It's the place in the sense of its essence. We are there with God, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, for eternal well-being, forevermore. Amen. He says, take time to think about that. Take time to thank your Heavenly Father for that which is beyond your grasp, that He Himself keeps, that which cannot fade away. It is incorruptible. It is reserved for you in heaven through the power of God. So when He gives us that truth in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we as Christians need to step back and say, yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that inheritance. But then He comes down into verse 13 and He continues. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So here He tells us, not only should we give thanks for our inheritance, we should give thanks for our deliverance. Deliverance is also a very powerful idea, concept, something that takes place in our spiritual lives, to be delivered. When I was a kid, my parents, I grew up on an old dairy farm that was closed. And in the old barn, there was the old milk room, and we decided to go ahead and have chickens. And so we bought a bunch of little baby chicks, set the whole milk room up, and we had all those chickens in there. But before long, we had the companion of every chicken coop, rats. Oh, I'm not a lover of rats. And I would go up, and my job was to feed the chickens. So I'd go up and I'd open that milk room door and I would see rats. I didn't like that as a little boy. That bothered me. So I started going ahead and trapping rats. So I would set traps throughout the grain area to try to catch those rats. But at the same time, I'm a little kid. And what do you do with a rat after you catch a rat? Some kids have pet rats. Well, I can't give the rat to somebody as a pet because it's a wild rat. It's not going to be a pet. So what I would do, if I caught them in a cage, like a have-a-heart cage, I'd go all the way back. I'd hike down through the fields and down to the woods, and I would set it free. Now, of course, as an adult now, I know that rat probably ran right back up to that grain room, probably beat me back. But I gave it deliverance. I'd set it free. Man, that thing would get out of that cage and phew, it was gone into the brush. We understand the concept of deliverance, don't we? Well, God is saying to us here, He's saying He has set us free. He has given us deliverance. What has He given us deliverance from? Look again with me at verse 13. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So the power of darkness, when we think of the power of darkness, we think of the power of Satan himself. And who is Satan? He is the deceiver. He is the one who buffers or strikes us in life. He is that one that does all that he can do to deceive and to hinder. In fact, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When we think of the realm of darkness that God has set us free from, we think of the realm of Satan himself. Yes, that deceiver. And certainly we look at the world we live in today, and you can see the deception that takes place in the hearts and minds of people. The deception from Satan himself. This week, if you watched your news at all, you You saw where a man took a car and drove right through a parade and hit children and elderly people and killed people and harmed and maimed people. What could cause a mind to do that? The deceiver. Satan himself. Yes, the devil. That darkness that comes upon people in their lives and even upon our society as a whole. So when we start talking about God setting us free, we understand that, yes, we should be thankful. We should be thankful that Satan has not so clouded our mind and so destroyed our lives that we are doing such evil and wicked things. God has given us the way to life and light, as he talks about here. Satan, yes, even now as Christians, he tries to hinder us. He tries to get in our way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered me." And you in my life, we are aware that Satan and the demonic forces of this world, they do try to hinder us. They do try to prevent us from growing and maturing and advancing in our faith and in our lives. It is only through the protective, it is only through the delivering hand of God that we find victory and strength that we are able to overcome. Yes, he strikes out at us. If Satan could, the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he seeks whom he could devour. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 9 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient." So when you and I look at Satan and we understand the realm of darkness that he moves in, and we understand that he does try to hinder us, and yes, he even strikes out at us, God reminds us that his grace is sufficient for us. That it is in his power, his strength, his might, that he cares for us and takes us through and gives us victory. So yes, even as the text says, we need to step back and thank our Father for the deliverance he has given to us from that darkness. You see, we have victory in our Lord. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world." You see, our victory rests in our God, in our Christ. You and I, we don't live in the darkness of the world of Satan because of the light that God has given us. In fact, that's the second half of that verse in talking about deliverance. Verse 13 says, "For who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You and I, we are part of the kingdom of God. Adopted into the family, held in trust by the power of God himself. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And if children, then heirs." You and I, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." God has not only set us free from that realm of darkness, given us deliverance, but he has brought us to a kingdom of light. You and I, joint heirs with Christ. You and I working together with God. In his eternal kingdom, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when we start talking about the kingdom of God, for which we are thankful for, we've been delivered from that kingdom of darkness, that we might be in the kingdom of light. And he says to us, he says, the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. It's not that which is tangible. He says instead, it's righteousness, peace, joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Yes, this morning we're talking about being thankful for spiritual things. Things that are larger, bigger, greater, more expanded than that which our five senses can reach out to. Even that work of the Holy Spirit that adopts us into the very kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So when we start referencing that kingdom of God that we have been adopted into, it's the very power of God at work around the world. This morning I talked to you briefly about missions, and I said, well, this Sunday is the last Sunday to fill out a card and say, yes, I want to participate. God has laid on my heart to give the missions, and I want to be a part of that. Well, that missions takes us past ourselves, doesn't it? It reminds us that on the continents of this world, our souls, just like you and I, you and me, who need salvation, they need hope, they need the power of Christ, the redemption work. It takes us past ourselves. That's really what Thanksgiving is about, is taking us past ourselves and thanking God. Whether it be for that which we can see, taste, smell, hear, feel, or whether it be reaching beyond and saying, thank you, God, for my inheritance. Thank you for setting me free from the darkness. Thank you for that deliverance in giving me a part in the kingdom of God. And when we go back to our text in Colossians chapter 1, he comes down and he brings us to verse 14. He's told us to give thanks to the Father because of our inheritance. He's told us to give thanks to the Father for our deliverance. But when he comes into verse 14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He brings it back around full circle. He says, we must thank our Heavenly Father for that redemption that has given us the inheritance, that has given us deliverance, that we might partake of the kingdom. He says, we've got to thank God, our Father, for that redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could not save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't give enough. We can't do enough because we are sinners in need of salvation. So we come to the Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the sinless Lamb of God without spot, who was willing to sacrifice himself as God on the cross for your sins and mine, that we might be redeemed. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So the Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ shed his blood for who? For every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter what corner of the earth you're in, we are a people who thank God for the Savior who went to the cross for us. All the power of eternal life rests not in us, but in him. And we, by faith, tap into that. And through his mercy and his grace, he redeems us. So he tells us, give thanks unto the Father. Thank him. Why? Because he has redeemed us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's a powerful truth. When you understand that it doesn't matter who you are, no matter where you're from, whether you're tall or short or fat or skinny, rich or poor, black or white, it doesn't matter. Every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every place. Jesus shed his blood for them all. One of the things I love about this text is it tells us in heaven above, at the very throne of God, it says there are golden vials full of odors. It means the incense coming before God. And it says, which are the prayers of the saints? That means your prayers, my prayers. The prayers of the people in the Philippines or the people in Afghanistan. Whoever, wherever there are believers who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their prayers come up into the heavenly home, and there as an incense it wafts before God. That's an amazing thing. And when we get our inheritance, when we get to that heavenly place, we can see all that transpiring. That's amazing, isn't it? I told you that, you know, when I started the service here, I went ahead and I mentioned Forrest William back here. And he had vacated and was with his mom hanging out somewhere else in the building. And I said, well, when they come back, we'll point him out. So can you guys stand and show us Forrest? So Forrest is with us, very first service. How old?
1 week.
1 week. 1 week old. And do you know that that mom and dad standing right there, their prayers went up before the throne of God and it wafted around the throne of God. And you and I as a church, when we prayed for this baby to be born, our prayers went up before the very throne of God as great odors of incense around the very throne of God they swirled. You guys can be seated now. Thanks. It is marvelous to understand the redemptive power of God, his throne, his grace and mercy to make us part of that inheritance he holds for us. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. That's you and I one day. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've come before him and said, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I accept you as the Savior. Ask you to save my soul. If you've turned from your sins and turned to him for salvation, then one day you will be part of that great multitude. That's the power of redemption. He says, don't forget to give thanks unto the Father. If we're not careful, we get so drawn into the world, the time, the society we live in, that we begin to lay aside some of the most important things of all. And here he's just pulling us back. He's saying, I want you to take a moment. Give thanks to the Heavenly Father. Not just for your job, your family, your home. Not just for the food on your table, the gas in your gas tank, the car you drive. Not just for all these benefits and blessings that we have on this earth. But he says, take time to thank your Heavenly Father for the spiritual, miraculous, amazing things he has done and has in reservation for us. This is a transitional Sunday. We transition from Thanksgiving to the birth of Jesus. And it's very appropriate to remember that that link is there. Because all the thanks we have to give, it's not thankful to Mother Nature. It's thankful to our Heavenly Father. It's not thankful to the corporate powers that be. It's thankful to our Heavenly Father. It's not thankful to Washington, D.C. It's thankful to our Heavenly Father. And the central part of all our thanksgiving is Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we transition from the Thanksgiving holiday to Jesus, to his birth, to the reason he came, to the power of his sacrifice, and the hope he gives every one of us in our inheritance. I'd like you to bow your heads with me, if you would, as we come to the end of our service. And as you bow your head, maybe we could take just a moment to say a prayer of thanks and then transition to looking towards Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the amazing inheritance you have in store for us. It is transformational. It gives us all the hope of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you've set us free. You've set us free from the power of Satan, the darkness of that realm. And most of all, we thank you for our redemption, the salvation that is only through Christ. And because of Jesus, we live. We have eternal life. We have an inheritance. We have victory. And Lord, we as a church, as we transition, I pray that you help us to lift up Jesus. Point all to him, for he is worthy of all. Help us as a people to look deep in our hearts and souls. If there be one person here that does not know you, Lord, as Savior, then I pray that today they would come and let us open the Bible and pray with them. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of our service this morning. I do encourage you, pray for Paula Jean. She got a message this morning while she was here getting ready to run our sound booth that her sister had passed away. And so she left to go and find out what had and be with her family. So pray for Paula Jean, such a faithful part of our church family, faithful servant running our sound system. Just a blessing to us. Pray for her. Be a blessing to her by praying for her. I think John has a song that he's going to close the service with. I'm going to close us with a quick word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you be with us as we go. I ask that you help us to ever be thankful. And Lord, as we do go into this holiday season of celebrating Jesus, I pray that you would help us to be a clear, vibrant witness for him. Thank you for your many blessings to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.